Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
All right, open your Bibles today, please. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we will, over the next several weeks, perhaps a couple of months, we're going to be looking at this aspect of being intentional. If there's one thing that I understand when it comes to serving the Lord, and everybody look up here, I know you're turning your Bible, look up here just for a second. If there's one thing I absolutely, truly understand when it comes to serving the Lord, it doesn't just happen. It really doesn't, church. It doesn't just happen. If we're going to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, we have to be, every one of us, including this preacher, including Pastor Stephen, including all of us, we have to be intentional about it. It's not going to just happen. By the way, that was a good place to say amen right there. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 10, what I want us to do this morning is we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, a few verses, and talk about being intentional in our worship. Being intentional in our worship. When it comes to worship, we gave you a definition last Sunday. It means to ascribe honor, worth, or excellence to God alone. To ascribe honor, worth, or excellence to God alone. The last I checked my Bible, He's worthy of our worship. Amen? He's worthy of our worship. He alone, God alone, is worthy of our devotion to Him. He's worthy of our honor. He's worthy indeed of our worship. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll start our reading in verse number 19. Please stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. Fellas, a little monitor, please. Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 23. The Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." You could preach 4 years on that verse. We're not going to do that, but you could. Look what he's just said. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he, Jesus, hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Our Father and our God, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your word today. We pray, God, your Holy Spirit will indeed be our teacher, will be our guide. Pray you'll help us today, Lord. May we preach with power from your Holy Spirit, for it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. Now, if there's one thing that I try to do whenever we preach through the Word of God, is to give you the context to what these verses were written. Why is Paul, or whoever this is, why is he writing this passage of Scripture, and primarily in his audience in the first century, who was his audience? Who was the one that he was necessarily projecting this to? Well, we understand a little bit about this, that he's talking to the Jews. The Jews primarily that had been born again, that had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. God had saved them. God had changed their life. But also bear in mind that to the Jewish mind, they had been steeped in their Judaism, their religion, the Judaism religion. And they understood the sacrificial system. For 4,000 years, they understood, or several thousand years, they understood what was necessary as far as to come into the very presence of God. Not just any Jew could come into the holiest of all. We'll see that in a moment. Only the high priest, year after year after year, had access to the holiest, the holy of holies, by the blood of a sacrifice. But now, something has happened. Something marvelous has happened. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us that we now have access to God. we now can come into the very presence of Almighty God. Let me just say by introduction, let me just make a statement to you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a very blessed individual in this regard. You and I can come into His presence because of His blood. Amen? If you're born again, the songwriters talk much and we sing much about the blood of Jesus. But in the context of this being intentional in our worship, notice number one, notice first of all the call in these verses. Notice the call to worship. He says in verse 19 through 21 here, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, again, try to imagine if you would, being a Jew and hearing this statement. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. The holiest was a very sacred place. The holiest was a place that not just anybody could go. But ladies and gentlemen, because of Jesus, because of His death, burial, and resurrection, because of His shed blood, you and I can enter in to the holiest of all. The holiest is where God dwells. The holiest is where the presence of God indeed is. And because of Jesus, we can absolutely enter into the very presence of our Savior. The word worship became worth-ship and involves attributing worth to God. The Hebrew word worship means to bow down, to prostrate oneself. The act of bowing is intended to reflect one's acknowledgement of God's worth. It reflects the ancient custom of kissing the earth as a means of honoring deities. Worship, someone wrote, worship is the submission of all of our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by His holiness, the nourishment of mind with His truth, the purifying of imagination by His beauty, the opening of the heart to His love, the surrender, listen to this, the surrender of will to His purpose, and all of this gathered up in adoration. What a thought. The surrendering of our will when it comes to worship, when it comes to worship, we are coming to worship. Hear me. We are coming into the very presence of the one, the only one worthy of your worship. The only one worthy of our worship. To ascribe honor, excellence to God alone. The call to worship. Several words we'll give you tonight or this morning in regards of this call to worship. We see, first of all, letter A, notice the access to the one to be worshiped. The Bible says, uses a word that we often skip over, but it reminds us of something that has already been stated. The word therefore, verse 19. Therefore reminds us of what has been stated in verses 11 through 18. God makes known that Christ's death perfects the sanctified, those that are set apart to worship. You and I that know Jesus as our Savior. Hear me, friend. You and I that know Jesus as our Savior. Are you aware that you have been set apart by God? But preacher, when it comes to being holy, the word holy just means set apart. We're set apart from the world, and thank God for that. This world isn't our home. Can I get a witness in the building? This world isn't our home. We're just passing through it. You say, yeah, but preacher, but while we're here, we're to honor our Savior. We're to honor our Lord. We've come today to worship our Lord. In the context of this passage, we see the access to the one that's to be worshiped. The Bible tells us a couple thoughts of this. Notice, first of all, the place of interest. The place of entrance, excuse me. The Bible tells us, verse 19, into the holiest. To the Jewish mind, they automatically knew that something was different about these verses. They automatically knew that something was different about what they were saying. For several thousand years, not just anybody can go into the Holy of Holies. But now, because, and he absolutely specifically states it, because of Jesus, we have access. Ladies and gentlemen, because of Jesus, you have access. You say, preacher, why is that important? Well, it's important when somebody you care about gets sick and gets put in a hospital and they're not certain what's going to happen. It's important to have access. Ain't it, Miss Laura? It's important to have access to Jesus Christ. And oh, by the way, we have access to God because of Jesus. Amen? We have access to Him. So in the context of this passage, we see the place of entrance. To enter the holiest, the holy of holies, the place where God dwells, immediately reminds us of how separated God is from man and his world of imperfection and sin. Man's sin and imperfection made him and makes us unacceptable to God. But when a person, man, woman, boy, or girl, repents of their sin and believes the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ the Lord, God saves you, God forgives you of your sins, and guess what God does according to Colossians? God makes you acceptable in the beloved. He qualifies you for access to God's room. You say, preacher, why is that necessary? Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's necessary for you to be qualified. It's necessary for you to be forgiven because you won't go to heaven unless you are. We won't go to heaven unless we are. The Bible says in verse 20, it says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. The veil that separated. There was a veil that separated man from that holy place. That veil cut people off from God. The message to the Hebrews concerning access to God has been stay back. Yet now they're hearing of access with boldness. The word boldness means confidence. We have confidence. Having reminds us of our present possession. As a result of Jesus Christ and faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, we have access to God. And because we have access to God, may we not take it for granted. When's the last time you talked to the Lord? When's the last time you talked to the Lord? I'm not talking about rub-dub-dub, you know, thanks for the food kind of thing, just a general, you know, kind of thing. I mean, seriously, just talking to the Lord. I know sometimes people say, preacher, I just don't know how to talk to Jesus. Talk to him like he's your best friend, because he is. Amen? We don't have trouble talking to our friends. It's on a regular basis. If I'm in the office and Pastor Fain calls me or I call him and Pastor Daugherty, we talk. We laugh like a bunch of little schoolgirls, laughing, and I'm telling you, we laugh. Why? Because they're my friends, and I love them, and they love me, and there's something special about that friendship. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, and I love Brother Andy, and I love Brother Jeff, but that relationship, hear my heart, that relationship, our relationship, pales in comparison to how wonderful my Savior is to me. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to hit you with a lot of questions today. Have you found in your personal life as a Christian, if you're born again, have you found that Jesus Christ is a wonderful Savior? Absolutely, He is. You know what I love about Him? There's so much to say about this, but one of the things I love about my Lord, He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He never abandons me. The scripture tell us that there's one passage, a couple of passages, I believe, that talks about how we can call him Abba Father. The word Abba means daddy. You know, I remember when your kids were little and they would hear something in the night and it would scare you, so you would say, go check on them to your wife, you know, kind of thing. I've done that to Leslie before. There's a knock at the door, go see who that is, you know. I heard a crash, you better go check on that. You don't want your babies getting hurt. Amanda and Brian, we hit a nerve. Yeah. Brian, how you doing, buddy? That's happened to you, amen? Thank the Lord our wives are tougher than us. Amen, brother. My wife's like, but anyway. But you know what? There's many times. Let me be a little vulnerable for a moment. You know, there's been many times in my life over this last year that I literally had to run to the Lord shouting daddy as loud as I could. I was scared. Didn't know what's going to happen. Uncertain. You know, and oftentimes when kids are growing up, that's one of the things that sometimes, you know, is unnerving to them because of uncertainty. But if they can run to the arms of their father or their parents, that security takes over, doesn't it? You know, there's many times in my life, and I know I could probably say for you, you don't know what's going to happen. But you can run to the one that does know. And the Bible tells us, and these Hebrew minds and these Hebrew ears that would have heard this, Brother Andy, I'm convinced of this, they would have been overwhelmed with what they just heard.
Wait a minute. You're telling me I don't have to go through a high priest? Well, you still do, but his name is Jesus. You're telling me that I have access now to where God dwells, and I don't have to come through the sacrifice of some literal lamb? No, his blood is sufficient. His blood took care of all of your sin. His blood wasn't shed as a temporary payment like those lambs would be every year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, to the Jew. His blood was shed once and for all. And you now, to the Hebrew mind, they're hearing this. And also, by the way, here's one of the challenges I think that the writer wanted them to understand. The danger was this. The danger to those Jews was many of them were running back. Stay with me. They were running back into their old life. If you will, they were quitting on Jesus. 2014, may it not be the year of the quitter, amen? May it not be the year of abandonment of our Lord. May it be a year that we're intentional. May it be a year that perhaps we grow in our relationship with Jesus more than we ever have. But hear my heart today, ladies and gentlemen. In order for us to grow, we have to be intentional. We have to be teachable. I talked about that last Sunday. We have to admit that we don't know all the answers, but God does, and we can study and we can learn and we can grow of Him. Notice another word. I love word studies in the New Testament, specifically in the New, but love Old Testament studies as well. Notice another word in verse 19. He uses the word boldness. Now, think with me as a Jew would have perhaps thought. There's no way in the temple that they would have come into the holiest of all, come through the veil, come into the Holy of Holies, confident, bold. I think oftentimes the high priest would have come in there a nervous wreck. You say, why, preacher? Because if he did something wrong, contrary to God's word, God would have killed him. He's offering the blood of the sacrifice for the people. And he would do that year after year after year. And then he would leave. And he would come back the next year. Then he would leave. He would come back the next year. And he would leave. But the writer now says, we can come boldly. He says in another passage that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can come confidently. You say, why should we come confidently? I'll tell you why we can come confidently. Because he hears us. Clay, I prayed for you, brother. For weeks been praying for you. You know what I'm thankful to God for? I'm thankful to God. And I heard one of our ladies comes up and says, hey, I've been praying for you for weeks. And you know what? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When we can come before our Lord and we can take Clay Nash's name before our Lord, guess what? Jesus hears that. We have confidence in that. Many times people say, yeah, but preacher, I've been talking to God, and God hasn't answered my prayers. Well, here's what I've learned about our Lord. Sometimes, you ready for this? You ready for this? You know, sometimes God's answers to our prayers are no. Y'all all right? Teenagers, oh, Lord, please let me marry him. He's the greatest thing in the world. Aren't you glad God intervened in your life? Now he's a bum that won't work. And you're not stuck with him. The other girl is. If I was quoting a country song, I would say, thank God for unanswered prayer. But I ain't going to quote Garth Brooks. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. But we have confidence. We have confidence. He hears us. Sometimes God's answers to our prayers are no. Sometimes God's answers to our prayers are not now. Amen? There's a time element often when it comes to prayer. There's a trust element. We got to trust that God's will. And here's something else. So sometimes, and I've had people say to me over the years, preacher, will you pray that God does this, 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 and this? And I've said, no, I will not pray that. Because here's what I've learned about my Lord. God's will is always best for me. It may not be the easiest, but sweet friend, you can mark it down and hear it this pulpit, that God's will is not always the easiest. It may not always be the easiest, but it is absolutely the best for your life. Sometimes God answers no. Sometimes God answers not now. Sometimes God answers absolutely yes. And we've seen him do that. We've seen him do it in Brother Clay's life. We've seen him do it in other people's lives. We've seen God do that. You say, yeah, but preacher, and here's something else that I've seen people. And let me also challenge you on something, because I've seen this happen over the years in Christian people's lives. If you're not getting an answer to your prayer right away, don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at God. You say, preacher, sometimes I feel that God, that what, God's abandoned you? I promise you he has not abandoned you. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, because the Bible, here's something else to know about Jesus. Jesus absolutely cannot go against his word. He will never violate his Bible. He absolutely will stick to this. You say, yeah, but pastor, some of the things that we've come through, preacher, they've been very difficult. You're absolutely right. Some things that you are. But you know what we've learned about Jesus? You know what these Jewish Christians were learning about Jesus now? Was he was a Savior that was alive, and he was a Savior that could be trusted. Personal question. Do you trust Jesus, believer, born-again believer? Do you really trust him? Do you trust him enough to take care of you? Do you trust him enough? You say, preacher, my job. Well, trust him with your job. My marriage, trust him with your marriage. My kids, trust him with your kids. He can do a great job. You say, preacher, nothing. There's no hope for this. And you go put fill in the blank. There's no hope for this. Well, as long as Jesus is on the throne, there's hope, I promise you. And we've seen God. Listen, we've personally seen God do things that, unless he did them, there was no way it'd get done. We've seen God do things like that. We've seen God put marriages back together. We've seen God touch people and heal their body. We've seen God do mighty things, because that's the kind of God that he is. Notice something else he says, and don't miss this, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See that? By the blood of Jesus. We can approach God by virtue of the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ. Jesus, through his blood, satisfied God's justice on our behalf, so that we now claim God's mercy and grace in our lives. Hold your place and turn to Romans chapter 5 for a moment. Turn back just a little bit. Romans chapter 5. Page 940, if you have a Bible like mine. Verse 1 and 2. We've seen the place of entrance. We now see the provision of entrance. It's because of the blood. The Bible says in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith. Justified means just if I'd. If you take that verse, take that word, look at it. Just if I'd never sinned. That's what it means. Just if I'd never sinned. That's how, listen, look up here for a minute, because this is a great thought. When God forgives you of your sins, when you repent and you trust Christ your Savior and he saves you, you believe the gospel by faith, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and God borns you again, he declares you righteous. Because of Jesus. He declares you not guilty. Man, what a joy, amen? How would you like to be standing in a courtroom and hear the judge say, not guilty, glory. I know you speed a lot, not guilty. Traffic court, not guilty. Well, amen. Justified. But listen, look at this now. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also, look at this now, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But notice that. Paul's writing that. He said we have access by faith. We have access to God. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
I challenge you, be intentional in your prayer life this year. Being intentional. You know what I've also learned about life? It doesn't do any good to complain about it. Can I get a witness? You ever get around people that complain about everything? Ooh, I hate that. I complain about the complainers, amen? No, don't. There's no. Doesn't do you any good complaining about it. Did I say doesn't? Doesn't do you any good. Man, oh damn, my hillbilly's coming out of me. It doesn't do you any good to complain about it. What does do you good is just talk to the God that can do something about it. He can change it. You know what I've also learned about my Lord? There's often times when I've asked God to have his will in a certain area of my life, and God doesn't necessarily change the situation, but through his grace and mercy, he changes me. That's the kind of God that he is. He can change you in the midst of a situation. You say, yeah, but preacher, I tell you what, everybody bothers me. Everybody aggravates me. Everybody this, everybody that. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Maybe, you aggravate everybody else. Maybe they're saying the same thing about you. So be careful. We can talk to God. You didn't hear me. We can talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can talk to him. The God that created you. The God that spoke this world into existence. We have access to him. To him. Isn't that amazing? And we have access because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we have access. Back in Hebrews, look at the passage. Jesus Christ, the high priest that offered the sacrifice himself. He was the sacrifice offered by the high priest. Hey, preacher, what's the point? Jesus Christ, here's the point of it all. Jesus Christ is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. He's amazing. He's remarkable. Serve him. Amen? Serve him with every fiber of your being this year. I challenge you to do that. You say, yeah, preacher, we don't have time? I'm thankful to God that he had time when he died on the cross for me. I'm thankful to God that he gave us all. You say, preacher, you're talking about being intentional, done on purpose, not by accident. Yeah, amen. That's what we're talking about. This access of worship, this approach to the one being worshiped. Verse 20, and having a high priest over the house of God. Look at verse number, let's just back up verse 20 here. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. This new and living way, no longer a dead sacrificial animals, but the living Lord Jesus. To the Jewish mind, when they have heard a living way, we have access through a living way. Wait a minute. We've always experienced death. We've always had to kill animals. We've always had to kill these lambs. But now we have access, not through something dead. We have access to God through one who is alive. Yes, we do. He's alive. And ladies and gentlemen, my Bible teaches me, my Bible tells me that he is alive forevermore. He is a living Savior. Because he's alive, Brother Brian, there'll be times when I'm driving, I'll talk to him like he's sitting right next to me. But you know what? I talk to him like he's sitting right next to me. He's much more closer than that. He's in here, brother. He's in me. And he's in you if you're born again. No longer dead sacrificial animals, but the living Lord. Look at Hebrews 7 for a moment. Turn just back a page or two. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, and you can read it later, why the word wherefore is there, the previous verses that's been stated. Wherefore, verse 25, he is able also to save them. You need to be saved this morning? If you need to be saved, God's able to save you. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's a Savior, ladies and gentlemen. He'll change your life. He absolutely will change your life. If you've never trusted him as Savior, why not now? Why not right now? Call upon God to be your Savior, repenting of your sin, placing your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. You see, what the world wants to do is with Jesus, they just want to add him to things. They want to add him to this, they want to add him to that. No, he stands alone. He's the only Savior. Where are you at this morning? What's your intentions? I guess is a good question. What's your intentions this year? Is your intentions just to go through this year and with no direction, no purpose? Would to God that we become intentional. Would to God that we say, you know what? Things don't just happen. They happen just. They happen just. I'm going to make an intention. I'm going to do it on purpose. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to do it on purpose. I'm going to come prepared. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. This preparation of worship. Coming into the house of the Lord already prepared to hear from God. You say, preacher, do you honestly think that God could do something miraculous in one service? Yeah, I do that. I honestly do think that. God saved me in one service. Wednesday night. Lord saved me on a Wednesday night. One service. Preaching service. What an amazing God that we serve. Are you going to be intentional? Are we just going to go through life, skate through life? Just kind of, I'll be honest. Hear my heart. I'm sick of just the norm. Aren't you? You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? 2014, wouldn't it be awesome if we take more ground for Jesus? If we win more people for Christ? If we build a greater work for the Lord? Wouldn't it be awesome to see more people serving in the choir? More people serving in the orchestra? Some of you played instruments in school. So I haven't played in 20 years. You're the perfect candidate for the orchestra. You know, honestly, truly, get it out. Why not? You know, you used to play it in the school. Why not get that thing out, dust it off, and start playing it for the Lord? Amen? As an act of worship to the Lord Jesus. That's what it ought to be. Our singing in the congregation. It's an act of worship to our Lord. Our giving of our tithes and offerings. It's an act of worship to our Lord. We're ascribing worth. We're ascribing value to God alone. Intentional in our worship. Will you be intentional this year? I challenge you to be that. Maybe you're here today and say, preacher, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. Friend, why not now? Why not start the year off trusting Christ as Savior?
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.